Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you decided to tune into the program today. I want to talk to you about prayer. Prayer is one of the most hopeful things that you can ever do. Now, I want you to know that when Jesus prayed, he wasn't always speaking, he was listening. This gospel comes from Luke chapter 6. In those days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples, and he chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was on the mountain, he spent time praying, but he was listening in order to make good decisions. I want to talk about prayer in this program, and I want you to be able to hear from God. I want you to be able to listen to God so that you can make good decisions and so that you can have a personal relationship with God. I recorded these programs north of New Orleans in a place called the Beta Springs. Now we're going to go to the live recorded preaching. And I heard a story about this woman who was on her porch and she was praying. And she was praying really loudly and all the neighbors could hear her. And she's saying, Lord, I know that I don't have a lot of money and you know that too. And it would be really great if you would give me some food. I need some groceries. Please, Lord, hear my prayer. Well, her neighbor was an atheist. He didn't believe in God or God's presence, so he shouts out to her, he says, what are you praying to God for? There is no God. Well, she just kind of negated what he said and went to bed. And next morning she gets up, she looks on her porch, and there are two bag fulls, chuck full of groceries, everything that she was hoping for, everything that she wanted. So she starts praying. She goes, Lord, thank you so much for the groceries. Thank you, I praise you, I worship you. You answered my prayer. All of a sudden, this guy pops out from behind the bushes. He says, I told you there was no God. I put those groceries there. And so she starts praying even more vigorously. Thank you, Lord, for the groceries, but thank you most of all for making the devil pay for them. Anyway, I wanted to tell you that Mass is a prayer. Most of you know that. Every time we gather together for Eucharist, we're praying. In fact, I learned in the seminary that when we're at Mass, we pray to the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. Every time we pray our prayers, we always say, through Christ our Lord. So what are we doing? We're praying to the Father, through the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Mass is a prayer. There's many different forms of prayer during Mass. For example, in the beginning of Mass, we're in what's called the Liturgy of the Word. Now, Mass is basically broken down into two parts, the Liturgy of the Word, the Liturgy of the Eucharist. We're fed at this table by the Word of God, and we're also fed at this table by the body and blood of Jesus. So God feeds us. But the interesting part about the Liturgy of the Word is we're praying, but we're not saying anything. We had the responsorial psalm, yes, but right now what you've done is you've listened to the readings, and I have too. We've listened to the readings, and now you're hearing a homily. And we're believing that God is going to speak to us, and that's part of prayer too, isn't it? Prayer is speaking to God, but it's also listening to God. Somebody said one time the reason why we have two ears and one mouth is so that we'll listen twice as much as we speak. And I really believe that. So you should be familiar with the whole theme of quiet and listening and silence. We heard that in yesterday's gospel. This is my beloved son, listen to him. We went to the mountaintop, to the Mount of Transfiguration. Well, you should be familiar with it because you live in an area where there's monks. Over there in Covington, Louisiana, we have the Benedictine monks. I presided at a marriage last year in that abbey, very beautiful abbey. It's very quiet. If you've ever been to one of their prayer services, they chant the Psalms. It's something very beautiful and it's good to be a part of, but they spend so much time in silence. You know, I'm a monk too, I'm a passionist religious. We live in a monastery, a residence connected to the retreat center. And we spend so much time in silence, trying to listen. Because a lot of people think that prayer is just saying words and talking all the time, and all these petitions and all these prayers. Well, that's part of it. But it's not the whole of it. In fact, I think that more time ought to be spent in silence than in saying things. And I always tell people, don't be afraid of silence. Don't be afraid of quiet. Don't think that something's wrong when it's quiet, because silence is the language of love. It's God's language. It was Saint Benedict, the founder of Western monasticism, and how blessed you are to have that monastery in your backyard. It was Saint Benedict, the founder of Western monasticism, who said, "Listen with the ears of your heart." Do you know that your heart has ears, and that you can hear with your heart if you only listen? So Mass is divided into two main parts. In the first part, we listen. And the rest of it, we're going to be praying prayers of petitions, and we'll be praying the Eucharistic prayer. So we'll be speaking and singing and doing other things. But the major part of prayer, I believe, is listening. We hear the Word of God. Now, how important is it to hear the Word of God? I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Scriptures, because the Scriptures, the Word of God, is so important. We don't listen to novels and poetry and philosophies at Mass. We listen to the Scriptures. That's why I gave you all day yesterday, I was giving out the Word Among Us. I wanted you to have the Bible in your hand. And the reason why is because we are a Bible-believing church. We believe in the power of the Word of God. I love what it was St. Paul the Apostle said. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation." So in other words, this can mediate salvation for you. It can mediate a deep personal relationship with God. It was Billy Graham that said, there's inbuilt power in the Word of God. Inbuilt. It's like a seed that when you come to it, it breaks open and there's a power within you. I remember when I was a young man, 18 years old, searching for God in my life, born and brought up Catholic, I had fallen away. I just came to the Bible and started going through it. You know, my parents had one of these red letter edition Bibles. You know, everything that Jesus said is in red letters. So I cut out the black and white, and I went right for the red. And it was in the Gospel of Matthew, and as I was reading, I came to Matthew 7:7. And this punched me in the nose. It was, "Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open. Seek and you will find." And it was like God was speaking right to me about prayer, about asking, about seeking, about knocking. And as I continued to do that, as I began to pray, and as I continued to, now notice what happened. I was listening to the Word. And as I began to seek and to ask and to knock, then I was filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the Word itself led me to something deeper. The words of Jesus, the truth, will set you free. And I remember even before that, I was waking up in the morning. What led me to the Bible in the first place, I was waking up in the morning as a college student, sitting on the side of my bed. And as I would sit there in the morning, I would look around my room and think, what is this? You know, I'm missing something. There's something more to life. I'm not happy, and I need to find it. So what was that? Of course, it was the voice of my conscience, and I always tell people, follow your conscience. But the Catechism tells us that the voice of God resounds, echoes in our conscience. So in other words, God speaks to us in many different ways. I've just listed two, the Scriptures, our conscience, and there's so many other ways. So what do we do at Mass? The first part of Mass is devoted to hearing the Word of God. And if you can listen with the ears of your heart, I believe that you will hear God telling you amazing things, like, "I love you, I forgive you, and I want to touch your life." I remember I was studying in Rome. You know, I've had the privilege to study in Israel and also in Rome, and it's so awesome to see so many. You ever want to listen, go to these churches and see St. Peter's Basilica and the stained glass windows and the statues, Bernini's columns. You know, you go to a liturgy there and you just see the magnificence, and you can hear. You hear about the magnificence of God and the holiness of God. Well, anyway, I was studying there and I went to one of the churches. It was called St. Peter in Chains. It was where St. Peter was traditionally held before he was crucified upside down. And in this church, St. Peter in Chains, there's one of the most beautiful artworks in there, a sculpture done by Michelangelo that Michelangelo thought it was his greatest work in terms of his most lifelike work. It's the statue of Moses. Moses, noble, shining. He had the horns above his head for the glory of God. And you could see, if you look really closely, you could even see the veins on Moses' arms because Michelangelo studied the human body, the anatomy of the human body, and he sculpted such masterpieces. And he thought it was his most lifelike statue out of all the ones he's ever done. I don't know if you've ever seen David in the Accademia in Florence, big, tall David, you know, now the giant because he slew the giant. But in this one, Moses is sitting there, as I said, shining, radiating the glory of God. And he felt it was so lifelike. Get this, there's a little scar on the right knee of Moses. Legend has it, when Michelangelo finished the sculpture, it was so lifelike, so beautiful, he took a hammer and he hit the statue. He hit the right knee. And he said, "Now speak." And I really believe that God is the master sculptor. And you know, when he created the heavens and the earth and us, he took a hammer and he hit creation. That's how the Grand Canyon was formed. And he said, "Now speak." Somebody gave me a book about the Hubble telescope. And it's got all these pictures. And it quotes Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God," without even saying a word. So in other words, the stars, the magnificence of the heavens, sunrises and sunsets, the moon, clouds, they all proclaim God without even saying a word. You just have to have the ears to hear. And it's amazing. You know, you look up at the stars, sometimes you see the shooting stars at night and the grandeur of it all, especially when you get in a dark spot. And that's God speaking to us, wooing us to himself through creation. I remember when I went to the Grand Canyon and I looked, I stood right on the edge of the precipice, and I looked over the edge of the precipice and I got goosebumps. And that's the Holy Spirit. And I could see this big miles of an expanse of the Grand Canyon. Now, it didn't say a word, but it spoke to me about the magnificence of God. You see, you have to listen with the ears of your heart. I like to go and visit my mom. She lives down in Florida, and you know, she lives kind of near the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. And it's nice, you know, to go down there, and every once in a while I go over to the ocean and I'll just kind of look, and you see people surfing and people out there fishing and, you know, playing in the ocean, swimming in the ocean. I guess some people just see a large body of water to play in. But when I go to the ocean, I see passion. I see creativity. I see magnificence. I see intelligence. See, the ocean isn't God, but God made that. And it teems with life. There's life everywhere in the ocean. And so what it does is it proclaims the glory of God. It shows us who God is. So you have to listen with the ears of your heart. I got an email one time from somebody, and it said, "Father, my wife just died. And, you know, we had the funeral and everything, and my wife loved birds. She loved to study birds, and especially cardinals. But we've never seen a cardinal around here, you know, in this section of the country. But the day of her funeral, I was looking out the windowsill of the kitchen and a red cardinal flew on the windowsill." And he emailed me and he said, "Is that God?" And I said, "Well, it's not God, but it probably a sign from God that your wife's okay." I like to call that, some people call that a coincidence. I call that a God incidence. It's like one of my friends had a little dog named Daisy, a little teeny thing. I'd always go over there and Daisy would be yapping away, perk, 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 you know, and I went over there one time and Daisy was gone. I said, "Hey, where's Daisy?" "Well, we have to tell you, she died about a month ago." "It's interesting, Father," they said. "We buried her, and about 2 weeks after we buried her, a little Daisy came up. And we were wondering, maybe that's a sign from God." And I said, "Yeah, it probably is." So you got to listen with the ears of your heart. After I've talked this homily out a couple times, I've had people come up to me time after time and say, "Father, I know just what you mean. This has happened or that's happened." And that's a sign of favor, a sign of favor from God to you. And what is God doing when you get signs like that? He's telling you that he loves you, that you're the apple of his eye, and that he wants you to be blessed. I remember, you know, my programs now air on the Church Channel. The Church Channel is a subsidiary channel of Trinity Broadcasting Network. It goes around the country. It also goes internationally to Australia and Saudi Arabia and different countries, because I've been getting emails from them because it's been broadcast. I remember the day, you know, for me this was a big step in my ministry, that now my programs were not only going to national cities here in the United States, but it was going internationally all at one time. And I thank God, because I worked so hard for this, you know, to get it to that point. And I remember the day that that happened, it was a Saturday, the day that it was going to be broadcast on the Church Channel, we had rain in Houston. And all of a sudden the sun came out, and I stood out in the driveway and I looked, and there was a big rainbow right over our house. And as I looked at that, I got goosebumps again. Of course, that's the Holy Spirit. I'll talk more about that the last night. But I got goosebumps as I looked at that rainbow, and I said, you know, the rainbow is a sign. We had it the first week of Lent. It's a sign of God's promises being fulfilled, the sign given to Noah. And I thank God, because I said, thank you for your faithfulness to me and blessing me the way that you have. So, you know, look and listen with the ears of your heart. There's so many ways that God will speak to us. What about a crucifix, for example? You know, you have this beautiful crucifix. It looks like a mission cross that you have in your church here. And it's interesting, you know, the cross will speak to you. I'm a Passionist. My first vow is to the Passion of Jesus. All you have to do is spend a little time with the crucifix and meditate upon the Passion. You look at Jesus crucified, and it will speak to you about God's love and God's mercy and God's kindness and God's forgiveness. And God will speak to you. Remember St. Francis of Assisi? One time he was in a smaller church than this. It was called the Church of San Damiano's in Assisi. I've been there and went on retreat there. And I had time to pray there. And he was meditating upon the crucifix. It was a Byzantine crucifix. And as he was kneeling there praying and meditating, notice he wasn't speaking, he was listening. He was a monastic person. Francis spent a lot of time in silence. And as Francis was listening and praying, all of a sudden, much to his surprise, he saw the lips move and he heard a voice, and it said, Francis, go repair my house that's falling into ruin. And he went out and he preached the gospel. He went out into the piazzas and he told the people the good news about the meaning of the cross, that Jesus died for us, that he rose for us to bring us eternal life. And many, many people came to be saved, and because they heard the gospel. And so he heard the voice of Jesus come from the crucifix by simple meditating upon the cross. And you can hear that same voice. I've been to Assisi. That cross is now in the Church of St. Clair in Assisi. And it's interesting. It says the Church of the Talking Cross. And it's not just that cross. It's every cross. That's why people wear it around their neck, because it speaks to them of salvation. And then people will speak to you. Of course, they speak with their mouth, but it's amazing how God will speak through people, through your husband, through your wife, through your child. You know, oftentimes it's because of a child growing up that people will come back to church because they want that child to have faith. And so a little child will lead you, even through some of their words sometimes, or through the voice of your spouse. I remember one time I was at the Woodlands preaching, and I was preaching about, you know, the gospel, and people were coming, and it was a wonderful service. And right afterwards, I went out to my book table. And at my book table, I have a bunch of books, and one of the books that I have is a book called God's Not Boring. But this was before that I wrote it. I was sitting there at the book table and signing books. I had written about four or five books, wasn't sure what I was going to write for my next one. These two women came over to me with a big smile, and I'll never forget it. They said, Father, God has told us what he wants you to write for your next book. I said, oh yeah? What is it? And they said, God said to tell you, he wants you to write a book for young people, for teenagers. And I thought to myself, yeah, you know what? I was a youth minister. I love teenagers. I want to reach out to them. And so I got busy and I wrote a book called God's Not Boring. And I got the title of the book from a youth minister in Slidell. And she and I sat down. I said, you know, I'm about to write a book for young people. What would you call it? And she said, oh, that's easy, Father. Call it God's Not Boring. And it rang true for me, because when I was a young person, It seemed like Mass was boring, and I thought God was boring, and that's one of the reasons why I fell away. Well, I wrote a book that said, God's not boring. He's full of passion. You see, I have a sunset on there. Everything that you like in life, bungee jumping, wave cutting, well, at least the young people like that type of stuff. But maybe you like playing cards or whatever it is, shuffleboard, I don't know. But whatever it is you like in life, God has given that to you. God's not boring. He's passionate. He's alive. We've got to hear with the ears of our hearts. So it's amazing. God speaks to you through people, speaks to you through statues, speaks to you through music, speaks to you through good TV programs, speaks to you through preaching, speaks to you through stained glass windows. Listen with the ears of your heart. The reason why we have two ears and one mouth, as I said, is so that we'll listen twice as much as we speak. And don't think that just because it's quiet and you're not saying anything that you're not praying. In fact, I think sometimes God would rather have you just be quiet. Jesus said in the Our Father, he said, don't rattle on like the pagans do, because then they think they're going to be heard. He said, your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. And that's what prayer is. It's very relational. It's your Father. It's a term of endearment. Preaching about prayer, and I want to tell you that prayer is one of the most hopeful things we can do. We hope that God hears us, and we hope that we can hear from God. It seems like everywhere I'm going nowadays, whether it be in the car or on an airplane, I see people on this. And what are they doing? They're talking on their cell phone. Wouldn't it be great that if God would talk to us like on a cell phone, we could hear his voice clearly, we could speak to him clearly, get some answers, get some intimacy with God, but as you know, that it's just not quite that easy. So I want to tell you that prayer is very hopeful. Prayer is a thing that we can use to speak to God, to hear from God, and it's full of hope. Now, hold on just a second here. Hello? Mom? Mom, what are you doing calling me here? I'm just a little bit busy right now. Uh-huh. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Okay, but Mom, could I just call you back in just a little bit? Thanks so much. All right, bye. Mothers, no matter where you are, they're always calling you. But I wanted to tell you that that prayer is a very hopeful thing. And I wanted to tell you that you can hear from God. And what do I mean by that? Well, God speaks in so many different ways. And prayer is such a hopeful, different thing that all of us can have. And I wanted to tell you that one time I was driving back from a mission I was giving, and I was looking at these three guys, and there were three young guys that were going to a package store, and they were about to buy some booze and different things. And my immediate thought was, oh, gee, you know, look at these guys. They don't have a clue. And then deep inside, all of a sudden, I heard this voice, and it said, Cedric, don't judge them. Pray for them. And I believe that that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me, prompting me to pray for those young men. And I did pray for them. And so what I want to say is that prayer, you know, changes me. And prayer should change you. It can help you to become less judgmental, more compassionate, more loving. See, prayer, God speaks to us in the silence and uses us to help other people. And another thing about prayer that I wanted to tell you is that when you're faithful, when you're persevering, when you're enduring with prayer, you know, we all want these big answers, all these big manifestations to prayer. And oftentimes we don't get it the way we want it. But what is God after in prayer? God is after us being persistent. Remember that parable that Jesus told about persistence in prayer? He's after us being enduring and us persevering. So what is the answer to prayer? We want this big manifestation of a new job or somebody being saved or coming to a full health. What does God want? Well, maybe those things, but perhaps he wants us being persistent and enduring and faithful. See, prayer changes us. That's one of the things that you have to understand about prayer. It's not just about all these great answers that we're going to get. Rather, prayer is God working in us, working through us, and working especially in us and developing a personal relationship with him. And I know that when you pray, when you spend time in silence, maybe you won't hear anything right at that moment, but maybe you'll hear it a little bit later. I remember one time, just recently, I was driving in a church parking lot, and I was coming up to an intersection, and I had the right of way, and right at that moment, I heard something in my spirit, Cedric, slow down. be careful. And right at that moment, this car shot right out in front of me. And if I hadn't slowed down, we definitely would have hit. There would have been an accident. And I attribute that moment where I believe I heard from God because of all the times that I spend in prayer, in silence. So you may not hear anything right at that moment when you're in prayer, but later on, you can hear from God. Later on, God will speak to you in many different ways, and you'll be more attuned to His voice. And wouldn't it be great if we could hear from God as if on a telephone? But usually that's not the way it happens. It's harder than that. You have to spend time, be persistent, keep enduring, I told her that I would call her later. Mom, why do you keep calling me? I told you I wouldn't. Hi, Mom, I told you that I was going to call you back and just... It's not? It's who? Yes. Okay. I will. It's the Lord. And God said, He wants to talk to you. I believe that God wants to talk to you, and He wants to talk to you in prayer, and I want to help you with that. It was because of prayer that I came back to the church, that I came back to God. Prayer has changed my life, and I've heard from God. You can hear from God too. I got a letter from a gentleman that said, "Father Cedric, God bless you. You have been the main catalyst for my returning to the Catholic Church." And he said, "Since I've been watching you, I've returned to church. I've been told that I've changed for the better. My eyes are opening." And I love to get letters like that, emails like that, because I know that these programs are making a difference. Every time you purchase one of my resources, you support me in reaching out and making a difference in people's lives. And I have resources on prayer. This book, Thy Kingdom Come, will help you to listen to God and to hear from God. One of my most recent books is called The Sacred Walk. Life is a journey. It's a walk, and in the walk, you will pray and hear from God. I know this book will really touch you. And those of you who like to pray the rosary, I produced a Four Mysteries of the Rosary CD that will touch your heart. It's got beautiful music in the background. I think you'll really enjoy this. And as I said, when you purchase my resources, they will help you personally, and they will help me to reach out all around the country, and now through the Church Channel, TBN's Church Channel, all around the world. I get emails from New Zealand and Australia and Saudi Arabia and all these different places. So thank you for your support. Don't just live, live with passion.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.